obligation of every soldier is to enforce the law. There are things that Jesus has already done that need to be enforced. And except you are persistent, except you are consistent, the enemy can have his way.
Push back the darkness and redeem the times. Hallelujah. Victory, we win.
Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. Good evening to those online. Let's stand and start praise and worship together this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you in this house, God. Praise you, Father. We worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the rain, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. Hallelujah.
You have risen from the dead.
Have your way. Do for us that which only you can do. Demoralize the forces of darkness by the very presence of your person. Take away the sting and the poison of the adder, of the scorpion, of the serpent. Neutralize every work and every purpose of the enemy, and establish your everlasting word. We give you praise for it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say neutralize. Say it again, neutralize. One more time. Neutralize every work, every plan, every poison, everything that is contrary to my well-being. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is neutralized. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so very much. Tonight has, for me, been difficult to put together. You know, sometimes you know this is what you're supposed to be saying, and then all of a sudden it is, I don't think so. And I have, because I have a whole Bible to speak and teach from, I have just tried to get at exactly what the Lord wanted to say. Then it dawned on me. He wants to say everything. And I said, Lord, how are we going to talk about everything? There's too many things to talk about. And he said, I just want it to be a time of discussion. I just want you to go from one point to the other, because there are many questions in the hearts of the people of God. I want my people to be taught. So this evening, I'm going to be jumping all over the place. But we understand that we're talking about spiritual warfare. Amen? So I'm going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, going from here to there, and it's all linked together. Because the one thing that is paramount for any soldier is not that they go to war, but that they come back safe. Amen? It's one thing to go to war. So I'm fighting for a cause, and then you die. There's another thing for you to go to war, defeat the enemy, come back home, and keep on living your life without stress, without having any impact from the battles that you've been facing. There are soldiers that come back, they are still, every part of their body is still together, but their mind is gone. And they're still fighting battles that they have already finished with, and they're still fighting it. And for Christians, the same thing can be very true. You can have PTSD and just have this syndrome that keeps you going, and you keep on fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. It's always fight when God has called you to rest. Did it say somewhere in the Bible, the battle is not yours? It's the Lord's? It does really say that? Says the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Huh. The battle is the Lord's. So if the battle is the Lord's, then it is his, not mine. Yeah? But this is the confusion. While the Word of God tells us that the battle is the Lord's, the Word of God is also saying we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Who's wrestling? I am. So if I'm wrestling and the battle is the Lord's, where is the answer? Which one is right? Is it the Lord's or is it mine? Oh. The Word of God says that you should put on the whole armor of God. Yeah? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have the belt of truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Have the shield of faith by which you quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ah. Okay. Salvation. Who is your Savior? Jesus. Okay, so that's... Who is the one who gives you the gift of righteousness and the right is the righteousness of God? Jesus. Ah. Who is the wisdom and the faith of God? Jesus. Who is the sword of the Spirit? Jesus. Ah. Who is the gospel that you are preaching? Jesus. Oh, so everything is Jesus. Oh, so while we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, he says wrestle. And then he says put on. Do you understand that wrestling and putting on an armor don't work together? That if you have all this gadget strong on you that you can't really move, are you going to wrestle? I need to understand what he's saying. If it is the armor of God, and God is saying that I am not wrestling against flesh and blood, then the first thing God is telling me, and he says the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. They are not flesh-based. But they are mighty through God. Now we're becoming less and less. And it's becoming more and more. Because the focus now is more in Him, God. Are you with me so far? It's more God than me. So what does God need me to do? Ah, let's go back. There is a man called Jacob. He's wrestling with an angel. And what is he telling the angel? You bless me. You're not going anywhere. You bless me. The blessing must fall. So, in understanding wrestling then, we must understand that wrestling is about us demanding the blessing of the Lord. Hello? I am making a demand on the blessing of the Lord. And the Word of God says to me already that God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in where? Heavenly places. Oh, wait a minute. He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heaven, everything that pertains unto life and godliness. I'm already blessed with it. I am not going to be blessed with it. I have already been blessed with it. And it is in where? Heavenly places. Ah, but we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in where? Heavenly places. Do you see it? So now when I'm wrestling, it is me fortified, making a demand on the blessing that God has already bestowed upon me that is mine, and saying, give it up. I'm here to collect my stuff. You cannot be squatting on my property anymore. Vamos. Hallelujah. Vamos. Leave. Mama said, exit. Praise God. So my wrestling is in me declaring the word of God. Ah. Are you with me so far? Okay. Now the word of God says to us in Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Based on what? The prophetic declaration. The prophetic declaration said something about you. This is what God says about you. And now what do many believers do? Sit on their behinds and say, well, God said it already. It is done. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it is done. But do you have it? No. How are you going to have it? By wrestling for it. By you saying, I got the word. God said that this has happened already, and God has never spoken a thing that did not come to pass. It is already done, and I know that you are hiding it. Remember those women, those Egyptian women, Israelite women in Egypt? They went and they demanded for all the silver and the gold. It was already there. If we are going to possess anything, it is going to be because we know what we already have, and we are placing a demand on it. Did Jesus, our Lord, say something about the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force? He said something like that? Interesting. You got to know your rights. In spiritual warfare, we're talking about knowing our rights, and by the declarations from our mouths, taking back what belongs to us. Do you get the point? Please get that point. Because a prophetic word was said does not mean that it is in your hand. It means that it has been deposited. Because God wants you to be a person who lives in the realm of the heavenlies, in high places, not in low places. God doesn't want you to live in low places. God wants you and I to live in high places, in places of honor, in the place of authority. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we're talking about getting what belongs to us. And if necessary, by force. Because when we first read about wrestling, it was a man saying, you got to bless me, or you're not going anywhere. And that same principle lines up. We are wrestling to get what belongs to us. And you know the thing about wrestling is that it is not something you do long distance. I I cannot wrestle with Nicole and she's over there and I'm wrestling with her over here. Is that possible? Oh, yes. And you go. Well, the same thing here. And when you are wrestling in close proximity, something called fear cannot be present in your life because the enemy that you are afraid of is the enemy that will defeat you. Have you seen boxers and wrestlers when they want to stand, the first stand across from each other and they look at each other trying to intimidate? Well, what did David and Goliath do? Goliath was trying to intimidate David. You're nobody. What did David do? He intimidated him. Told him, listen, not only am I going to take you out, I'm going to take all the Philistines, all of your armies. I'm going to feed them to the birds of the air. Not just you. You finished them. So what is spiritual warfare about? What's coming out of your mouth? You declaring the purpose of God. Amen? Now, there is another aspect of spiritual warfare that I need to share with you. Because intimidation is not only what you do when you speak, it is the stance that you take when the enemy is busy mouthing off. I remember many years ago, it's got to be close to 20 years, more than that maybe, I was visiting with somebody, Mama and I. This person happened to be demonized. And when I got there, the Lord says to me, says, say nothing. I said, say nothing? He said, say nothing. No matter what this person does, say nothing. Not until I tell you. So I went there. The person was on the couch. I'm sitting over here. And the person is raving and raging. This is their house. I keep my mouth shut. I'm just quiet. And they are going at it, they're going at it, they're going at it. I'm just quiet, just sitting up, not moving a muscle. I'm just looking at them. Just quiet. And they're going, la, 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 la. I'm just there, quiet. What do you want? Blah, 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 blah. Just quiet. And at the right time, the Lord says, now speak and cast out the spirit. One word. Pow. Finished. Done. I was not the one being manipulated and controlled. I was not the one being intimidated. My quietness, when I should be reacting, was my strength. You know, the Bible says that the children of Israel marched around Jericho and they were quiet. Can you imagine what's happening right there? In the city, they see these guys just marching around and not making a peep, not a noise. First day, second day, third day. Oh my God. What are they doing? Did anybody see them doing anything? They're not doing anything. Then on the seventh day, they go one time, two times, three times, four times. Can you imagine the terror that they are feeling inside there? When they've already said in their mouths, they've confessed with their mouths that these Israelites will defeat them. They've already said it. And now they're not saying anything. They're just quiet. 7th time, the trumpet blast, the people shout, the walls start falling and collapsing. Do you think when the Israelites were coming in to kill them, that they had any fight left in them? It's finished. They've been intimidated already and they knocked out. It's done. Before the first sword swung, they were done. They were finished. Their own fear. You know, the weapon that the enemy uses to terrorize the children of God is fear. And when you refuse to fear, that enemy backs off. Backs off. You must not allow fear. It's not that fear doesn't try to come, but you must catch yourself. When my mom died, we went to her village. And when we got there, I stepped into a particular room because we're going to greet her family, let them know we are here. As soon as I stepped in, there was a guy sitting. He jumped out and shouted at the top of his voice. It was not a shout to say, "Oh, we are so glad to see you." It was a shout to create an atmosphere. You know, if I just all of a sudden just shout at you, you know, first thing that's going to happen, right? Generate, so you create a portal for fear. You open yourself up and the enemy just comes in. Are you with me so far? I'm teaching you some down-to-earth practical things right now. Pow! The man shouted. Of course, my first response is shock, but I knew what just happened. I shut myself up right away. I said, you. I'm going to deal with you. You're going to be very sorry that you attempted what you just tried. Create fear to open you up for the enemy to penetrate. Don't you ever give in to fear in any area of your life. Don't ever give in to fear. You've heard me tell the story about how a particular gentleman, I'll call him Gentle, to be nice, came into my office many years ago, knocked at the door, said, "Come on in." Guy comes in and he starts screaming like a madman. At the top of his voice. I'm supposed to be his pastor. And he's screaming at the top of his voice. He's going all red. You know, when folks your color get really upset. When I get very upset, you don't see the red. This guy is red. Screaming. I'm just sitting down, quiet. And he's going at it. I'm quiet. And he's going at it. I'm going at it. And I'm just quiet. looking at him. He expected me to be afraid. He expected me to maybe stand up, and then he will find a reason for a fight or whatever. I just calmed down. All of a sudden, when he found out that he could not have his way, he stomps out. And I just sat there, shook my head. Wow, lying devils. That time, I let it alone. Because the Lord didn't want me to do anything about it. But what the Lord will always want me to do is to seize a hold of myself. Possess your own self. Possess your soul. Don't let anybody get you into their game plan. You always have the control, the charge. Come on. Somebody listening? What I'm talking to you right now, about right now, you're going to experience, and please remember what I said to you. Doesn't matter what the situation is, never give in to fear. The enemy comes and says, oh, well, we did a test on you and we found out that you've got cancer. Ah. Don't give in to fear. God did not tell you that. A man said that. A man said that. And it doesn't matter how bad the diagnosis is. Diagnosis. Gnosis is knowledge. Gnosis, knowledge. Diagnosis. That is their knowledge. But you've got a different knowledge. What did the word of God say? By his stripes ye were. Did he say where? First Peter? You were healed. That means I'm already healed. I am already healed. So whatever it is that you are saying now, that's your problem. Because God already saw that and has already fixed it. And I'm not listening to your lies. I'm listening to what God says. Now, you know, the mistake, you know, this is a sign that you've lost it. When you start fighting with that doctor who gave you that diagnosis. Oh, I reject that. I reject that. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The guy just telling you what he knows. Why are you fighting with him? When you live there, you say, look at these crazy Christians. That's how they come here and they, oh. Blah, 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 and then they die. You're fighting against the wrong person. What did the doctor do? He just went to school and learned whatever it is that he learned. And he used the tools that he has and made his diagnosis. He checked your blood, he checked your whatever, and came up with that particular statement. If God saw you, God will see the same thing. But he said that you were healed. So I said, thank you for letting me know what the problem is. I'm not going to bow down to that diagnosis. However, I know you want the best thing for me. You're my doctor. And this is not what you want me to hear. So I want you to know I'm going to come back with a good report. Thank you very much for letting me know. I didn't fight with him. He just said whatever it is that he's saying. Why are you fighting with the doctor? What's your problem? It has nothing to do with it. But you do know that the word of God says that you are the healed. So you say, Father, I thank you that I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now in the second heavens where the enemy is operating, he's trying to put some things together. He's cooking up some stuff, and I want to put a stop to it right now. So, Father, I thank you that your word has gone forth as an evil-seeking missile, and you are dismantling every activity of the enemy, and I step by the grace of your loving kindness into that dimension, and I demand my healing. Give me the healing that the Lord has already established for me. You cannot have it. Because you see, what the enemy will like to do is take your healing and give it to his kid. Did we not study yesterday during the question I asked Bishop Cole about the women that switch destinies? Well, my destiny is not going to be switched. I refuse that. But I'm not going to fight with people because of what's happening. Well, if only you did this, then things would be better. And if you did that, this and that, blah, blah, blah. That's not them. It's not them. Deal with the one that you need to deal with and get your stuff back. That's what you need to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let me go on further. I trust that in making these comments, that different questions are being answered. Now, remember that God said to Elijah in 1 Kings, let's go to 1 Kings real quickly. 1 Kings 17, 1. This is a passage that Bishop Cole ministered from. He says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now remember that God told Moses, the day that the Israelites start worshiping other gods, there will not be rain nor dew in the land. That's what God said. Now they're busy worshiping other gods. They have all kinds of gods and they're worshiping all kinds of crazy stuff, and it kept on raining. But I thought God said it was not going to rain. Well, because God needs a man in the earth to be in charge, to be his voice in the earth. And so that man took a hold of the word of God, comes to Ahab and says, no more. No rain. That's it. I'm shutting this thing down right now. Based on what? Based on the prophetic word that God had spoken for centuries that was not happening. The point is this. God can say all kinds of things and nothing happens until he has a man that will stand up and do what he said. Somebody has to prophesy. Are you with me? In Amos 3, it says, God will do nothing except he reveals, first of all, his secrets to his prophets, his servants, the prophets. When God reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets do what God wants. They say what God is saying. And when they say it, That's the stage one. That's stage one. That's not the end. They are saying what God said, but that's stage one. Now you've got to put a push on that word. Why do you need to put a push on that word? You are putting a push on that word because you are saying, God, I believe you. And because I believe you, I am going to see the manifestation of this word. I am attached to this word. Amen? So faith without what? Works is what? Dead. Abiding alone. Faith and works, they must go together for ignition. Just like you have positive and negative, you cannot generate power with two positives. Yeah? Not going to work. The other day I was trying to plug an iron, you know, this multi-plug setting where you have, you know. So I stuck it in and it went in. I looked at the iron, it's not on. I said, but I put it in. I plugged it. It's not on. So I looked at what I plugged. One of the prongs was in and the other prong was outside the box. No power. Are you with me so far? You got to have both of them together. If you're going to generate power, you got to have both together. Oh, I received a powerful prophetic word. Now, sit down. Don't fight with it as we read from 1 Timothy 1:18. Don't use that prophetic word and do good warfare and see whether there is going to be a manifestation. There's not. Okay. So in chapter 17 and verse 1, Ahab shows himself and says, no rain. Then in 18 and verse 1, 1 Kings 18 and verse 1, word of God says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. In the what? Third year. James tells us that it rained 3 months, 6 months later. Are you with me? He said in the third year, God gave him a word. And what did God say? Show thyself unto who? Ahab. Show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. That's all God said. Show yourself to Ahab, I will send rain. So let's assume she's Ahab and I'm Elijah and I come. I show myself to you. What will happen next? Rain. So, true? That's all he said. Show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain. So he shows himself to Ahab. Did rain come? No. There is no rain. Did Elijah now start pointing his finger at God and say, God, you said there's going to be rain. I showed myself to Ahab. No rain. I give up. No, that's not it. But let me read real quickly to save me some time. So Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Oh, stop being funny. He showed himself to Ahab and there was a sore famine. It's like opposite. What? You mean God said it and the opposite is happening? I received a prophetic word and everything is going the other way. Chill. It's part of the plan. Relax. Well, I went to the pastor and asked, you know, I had a headache and they prayed for me and my headache became stronger and then I had a tummy ache and now my arms are aching. Oh, this man is not anointed. No, he's very anointed. That's why you're getting more visions. So, this is the battle. Because the enemy wants to make God a liar. That's his agenda. Make God a liar. To pollute the altar of God. It says, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Obadiah was the governor of his house, took care of things for Ahab. It says, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Another opposite. Ahab is a man that is so wicked that the Bible says, you know, he's the most wicked of all the wicked ones. But there is a man called Obadiah. And Obadiah means servant of Jehovah. That's what his name means. And he's servicing this guy. He's ministering to him, ministering to his needs. Verse 4. And it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Jezebel is busy killing the prophets. And this man is busy protecting them. He's the inside man. When Jezebel is going crazy and wants to kill, he gets the information, he slides up and says, they're trying to get you. Takes them off, hides them. He says, and Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. 6. So they divided the land between them to pass through, and Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Take me to verse 10. Bible says, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation, because Obadiah now meets Elijah, verse 9, and he recognizes him, and he says, as the Lord God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord had not sent to seek thee. And when they said he's not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. 11. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Man, don't you know how good I've been? I've been taking care of things around here. You want me to go tell the guy that you are here, and then by the time we get here, you vanish. The Lord takes you away. And then I'm going to die. Man, for all the good I'm doing, you want to punish me? Let's skip to verse 18. In 17, Ahab meets with Elijah. It says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? Are you the one that troubles Israel? And he asked, and I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. This is the God that Jezebel an exalter, her name actually means exalter of Baal, has introduced to Israel. And listen, the people are worshiping Baal. Okay? What does that tell you? Nobody is going to be doing any worship of Baal if Baal was not producing. It's like me going to a shaman in his chicken tent and telling him that there are no spirits. They are spirits. That's why they're worshiping. That's why people have go to the shaman to get their medicine for this and for that. It works. But it's not the right spirit. There's a real devil, and he has power, and he has authority. From Africa, where we come, you know, they can call for rain and mess up your party. You know, this is the amazing thing about the devil. He never does anything good for good. It's always destructive. You know, there are so many places in Africa where there's drought and no water. I don't see these so-called witch doctors or whatever it is. They are calling for rain to come water the place, you know, so that people can have crops. But if you are throwing a party, you're having a celebration, there they come. If you don't give me some money, I'm going to bring down rain and mess up your party. Are you with me so far? Point is, there is power. It's not always proper power. And people were following Baal, because Baal did stuff for them. Or else they won't be crazy enough to start cutting themselves on Mount Carmel. You know, bleeding themselves when Elijah put a challenge to them. The God that answers by fire, let that God be the one. That'll be the one we worship. And they were busy cutting themselves. Why? Because it used to work until, as the Lord said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his house, except he first bind the strong man, then he can spoil his house. Yeah? The Lord said that. And you're not going to accomplish anything in the kingdom without first binding the strong man, so you can get what you need to get. So what does he do? He bound the strong man. Now let's flip back. Before he went to Ahab, James tells us that he was a man with the same passions like us, who prayed earnestly that it will not rain. Yeah? He prayed earnestly that it will not rain. But we already know God said to Moses, it will not rain. So why is he praying? He's doing warfare. If you get nothing, get this. Just because God said it does not mean it is automatically happening for you. You've got to go get what belongs to you. You have to literally go get it. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and what? 6 months. 3 years and 6 months. It didn't rain. But he prayed earnestly about what God already said was going to happen. Well, God said to me that this is going to happen, that I'm going to have this. Okay, that's good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you go get it? Did you go get your stuff? No, it's just going to come to me. 99.99999% of the time, that's not how it's going to happen. The only time, the 0.1, that it will happen is going to be when God is totally fed up. He's had it. He's tried to get it to you, but you're not getting it. Then, just give it to him. Just give it to him. Let him go. Just give it to him. Give it to him. This one is not going to wake up. Just give it to him. Then you get the miracle. And you know what happens? It's just like the man at the pool in John 5. There for 38 years. Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? You know why he asked him that question? Do you want to get well? Because he's had so many opportunities and he did not take it up. And so Jesus had to come meet him there to give him what he needed. And do you know what the guy did? He goes and rats on Jesus. That's what happens when you've not had an investment in it. You rat on everybody and you never appreciate anything. So says, I'm not a problem. He says, but get the prophets of Baal, 400 of them and 450 of other ones. Bring them to Mount Carmel. We're going to have a talk there, and bring the people. So the people gathered, and there they were. And he sets up the sacrifice, two altars. They did their thing all day till the evening, and nothing happens. And at the time of offering, the Bible says, Elijah tells the people, it's our turn now. And he gathers blocks, stones, 12 of them. And he arranges them, each stone representing the people of Israel. He arranges it. He gets the bullock. He puts it on there. He digs a trench around this altar. We know the story well. And now he asks for water. And they go and they get water and they pour it. The Bible says two seeds. So actually what the Word of God says, two seeds. And he pours it there and he says to the people, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God is God, you serve him. If he's not, don't serve him. Anyway, he brings this two measures of seed, water. Pour it. The whole thing is soaked. And then he prays. And he says this. After they've done that 3-4 times, so they have 12, again representing 12, the 12 tribes. So it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. What is he doing? They had not turned back, but he's prophesying it. What he wants their hearts to turn. And so he's speaking what he wants. That's the thing that you need to understand about spiritual warfare. You say what you want. Amen? It's not as much as you stating the problem as you speaking what you want to see happen. Too many times we spend our time speaking the problem, and guess what happens when you start speaking the problem? You get more discouraged. You beat yourself down because the more you're talking about the problem, the bigger the problem gets. He says, what I want to see is that you have turned their heart back again. And when he said that, 38, see what God does. Then the fire. Did he even say anything about fire yet? No. That was what he was expecting. He didn't even pray fire. He just prayed the will of God, which is the turning of the hearts of the people. The fire deal was his quest because they're going to have sacrifice. And the water makes it more impossible. So if there's fire in this thing and it consumes everything, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is God. Amen? Hallelujah. And so the fire comes and consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, consumes the stones, consumes the dust, licks up the water that was in the trench. Can you imagine how hot that fire was? Bang! Everything's gone. And watch, he says, and when the people saw it, they fell on their what? Faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. This is what must happen in our age and our time. People must see the power of God again. And then, still, where's the rain? Still no rain? But if you show your face to Ahab, you're going to have rain. Looks like God is lying. But no, 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 no. God calls the end at the beginning. Please hear this. That's important. Get this. God calls the end at the beginning. The end result. That's it. There are steps from where you are to where you're going to see the manifestation of the end result. Fire comes, the people worship, and then watch this. This is good. He gets all these prophets of Baal and he slays them, kills them. But notice this. This is important. I don't want you to miss this. 41. It says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and what? Drink. These are his wife's prophets, because these are the prophets that eat at the table of Jezebel. They just got wiped out. Is Ahab very upset? Ahab has been slapped so hard by the miracle of God that he's lost his marbles. They just go and eat. Go and eat and drink some. And the guy sits down and starts eating and drinking. Meanwhile, the prophets are wiped out. And after he slew the prophets of Baal, he now says, for there is a sound of the abundance of what? Rain. There is a what? Sound. There is a what? Sound. Did it rain yet? No. Come on, give me a break. It should have rained by now. But still there's no rain. So after while Ahab is busy eating and drinking, he goes up higher on Mount Carmel. And he positions himself, puts his face between his knees, and he says to his servant, go look at the sea. Look over there and tell me what you see. The guy goes, comes back. I don't see anything. Seven times he sends him back and forth. And he comes back, and the seventh time he comes back and he says, I see a little cloud like the feast of a man in the sky over the sea. And he says, okay, go tell Ahab, stop eating, take off. Go home real quick, because if you don't move now, you are going to be overtaken by this rain. So the man gets on his horse. For the first time, Ahab is listening, takes off, and it becomes really dark. Why is there a feast of the hand of a man in the sky? Because in the heavenlies, Elijah had gone there and demanded that rain pause. You know why it didn't rain? Please get this. God never does anything evil. God is always doing something good. So when God says something evil is going to happen, he doesn't do it. The devil and his cohorts, they do his bidding. That is their permission to do what they want to do. So when he said, don't lose this point. When he said, no rain, there were demons over there saying, God, somebody finally said no rain, and locked it up. So the man who said no rain went there and says, okay, I said there's going to be rain now. God said, and I'm saying, let it go. Let it go. And the rain comes down. God is not holding any good thing from you. You know what happens many times? And please hear what I'm about to say to you now. A lot of the issues that we face in our lives are generated by what we have said out of our mouths. Let me say it again. A lot of issues that we face in our lives have been generated by what we said out of our mouths, and therefore given license and authority to the devil to keep our stuff. So now, you who said it, you, by the authority of the word of God, need to step into that arena and say, uh-uh. Okay. No more. You let it go. Now, once in a while, God has something to do with it, and he steps into it himself. But most of the time, it is the agenda of the enemy, based on what people do, by not obeying the instructions of God. When God says, if you do this, this is going to happen, he doesn't have to make it happen. You, by your actions, make it happen. Those are the consequences. Just like if you jump off a high rise, well, you're going to have a free fall and have a sudden stop. While you're having that free fall, nothing hurts. But when you hit it, okay, that's what happens. And you and I need to do something tonight. And I think I'm going to stop here. There's so much more to say, but I'm going to stop here. We are going to declare that whatever words that we have put in place that the enemy has been capitalizing on, that those words are nullified, and that we are demanding total restoration of that which God has already given to us. I cannot come here and tell you today that God is doing anything new. He rested from all of his works. He's rested. He's done it already. My money is in the heavenlies. My houses are in the heavenlies. Everything in the heavenlies. I was talking to one of my spiritual sons this afternoon. We're visiting with him, I guess it would be 14, 15 years ago now, because the child is 13. Normally we don't stay in people's homes. For whatever reason, we decided to stay with this particular family. I believe because where they were was very far away from our hotel, and we didn't want to be going back and forth, and they were going to be our host. So we're staying in this beautiful suite, and there's a hallway, a long hallway like this, and it leads to this particular suite. There's a laundry room over here. This is a solid wall right here. So we're in our room, sleeping, and I had a dream. In that hallway, there was a room that's not existing in the natural. You understand? And in that room was a child. They were barren. There was a child playing in that room. So I woke up in the morning. I said, I know where your child is. The child is in some room over here. I'm going to call that child and bring him from that hidden place. So we prayed. I said, I call you, child, out from that place that you've been held captive. I bring you to your parents. In the name of Jesus, here's your child. It's in the natural. I wasn't handing anything. My hands were empty, but in the realm of the spirit, I was handing them their child. A year later, the child was born. Amen? Praise the Lord. They've been married for years. I don't know, 13, 14 years by this time. No child. But the child had been there, already given. Already not no longer a baby, was a grown child. The child was growing in the realm of the spirit, but they didn't have the child here. Yeah, it's your child. What I'm saying to you, saying to me, saying to us as the body of Christ today is this, that whatever it is that we're looking for has been provided for already. We need to go collect it. How do we do it? We do it by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ that has been invested in us. Now, I'm going to go deeper Sunday morning and Sunday evening. If I don't do it Sunday morning, because there might be something else I'm going to be dealing with, I'm going to show to us how we literally have to collect what we need to collect. All I've tried to do this evening is to say, yes, you've received a prophetic word. Yes, you heard from God, but that's not all of it. You still need to do something else. Now, that something else, I'm going to show you how we do it safely. And then, as the days go, if the Lord helps me, I'm going to share with you what you must not do. And what I know the Word of God says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, therefore go into the world and preach the gospel. True? All power has been given to him. You call to preach the gospel, but there are certain things in the realm of the spirit that you have not been given permission to deal with. You go there, you be sorry. Okay? The same things, I'm going to share that with you. What spirits you are not meant to tangle with. There is nothing, in the name of Jesus, it's not going to work because God did not give you permission to that territory. Or in the blood of Jesus, it will not work. Speak in tongues all you want, it will not work. In fact, you might die from it. and their ministers and Christians have died from tangling with spirits that they have not been given permission to deal with. Why? Why did God do it that way? So that you stay humble. Amen? So that you do what? Stay humble. Because, you know, I cast out this. You can get yourself into too much issues when you don't know what you are dealing with. Let me tell you something. If the devil shows up right now, I remember when we first started in, Seven Oaks, R.F. Morrison Elementary School, having the service, the power of God was so strong. And I was ministering to the saints, and the power of God was just touching them. And there was this lady. She comes. I lay hands on her. The power of God hits her. She hits the floor. She comes back up, but she didn't come back the same way she went down. The evil spirit came out, and her eyes are red shot. Her face is distorted, and she comes with this totally different voice. I'm going to kill you. You know, it's a woman. And she has... Oh, you should see people dash by Usain Bolt. Caught up with them. Man, chairs were flying. People were taking off. And I'm going to the next person. And I stepped back and I said, how dare you? Who gave you the right to look at me? Pow! Gone. Delivered. It's not a fight. We're not in the same class. But you've got to understand that if you're not humble, there are things that can mess you up. Have you ever seen people trying to cast out some certain spirits and say, I'm in a deliverance ministry, and you look at the guy who says, I'm in a deliverance ministry, oh my God, you can just see the devil all over them. But they are in deliverance ministry because they don't know what they're doing. And I don't want any one of us to fall into that trap. So I'm going to share some things with you that you have to take note of. Don't miss any of this. It's important because the results that God wants to give to us are going to be celebrated. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, we'll stop there. Man, I'm glad somebody got something out of that. God is good. Amen. Anyway, well, tonight, we're going to cover a few things in our prayer of intercession. One, God, whatever it is that has come out of my mouth, that has been capitalized on by the enemy to rob me of my destiny, to stampede upon that which you have ordained for me to experience. Father, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that those documentations that the enemy has, those certifications that the enemy has because of what has come out of my mouth, that those documents will be ripped up and removed completely, erased. Amen? Did you get that point? Because I've said things, you've said things. There's not one of us that haven't said things. Especially when we're afraid. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, this bill. How am I going to pay this bill? You're already declaring. You're already declaring difficulty already. You don't do that. You don't look at your circumstance and confirm your circumstance as the reality. Even when God has shown it to you that this is what the enemy is trying to do, and now you are seeing the manifestation of it, you don't keep on repeating that problem. You repeat the solution that God has already given to you, canceling out whatever the enemy was planning on doing. That's, you're not there to repeat and restate what the enemy said. You say what you're going to say about the matter. That's what's important. Okay? So whatever it is that I have said, whatever it is that you've said, whatever it is that we have said about our personal life, about our family, about our finances, about our health, about our country, about our church, about our relationships that do not align with the will of God, today we are declaring them canceled. Amen? Say, but I prayed that prayer some time ago. Since then, you've said some more stuff. We're canceling it. Amen? Whenever it is that you said it, whether it was yesterday, last week, we are canceling it tonight. Rise with me. Those of you at home too, begin to declare that every documentation, every writing, every recording that the enemy has of your voice print, declaring and certifying that certain things that do not align with the will of God for your life, that the enemy has, and because of it, he is manipulating your present, your past, and your future, impacting any aspect of your life, that those documents be erased, and not just erased, let them be shredded. We declare that the shredder of God will shred it and burn it up. Burn those documentations. Those words are consumed away. The hacker will not hack into your life in any way, shape, or form. In the mighty name of Jesus, we're declaring total deliverance from every evil declaration. In the mighty name of Jesus, whoever it is that spoke it, whether it be ourselves, whether it be our parents, teachers, governments, whoever, whatever words have been spoken that have been used by the forces of darkness to manipulate, to control, to influence my life, my family, my marriage, my children, my ministry, my calling, my purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare right now, as one people under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that those documentation are eradicated, those recordings are eradicated, they are erased, they are fully burnt up by the fire of the living God. They do no longer exist. They are extinct in the mighty name of Jesus. They are extinct. There is no ghost print of it anywhere in the mighty name of Jesus. No markings of it. It never existed. It no longer exists in the mighty name of Jesus. Every word that has been negative is eradicated, and therefore every obstacle is removed now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. We call it so done. And God spoke together in agreement, said yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we're going to do the next thing. We are going to declare by the authority of the Word of God. You see, the strong man is a strong man because he has something that strengthened him. We have stripped him of that. He no longer has those words. Amen? But now, what we do have, the Bible says that we have to bind the strong man, and then we can spoil his house. His house is where he's operating from, in the heavenlies, in the second heavens. That's where he's operating from, and that's where he's controlling, like a puppeteer, controlling what men are doing. You know, it's like pulling strings over here. All right? Now we are going to disconnect those strings. Whatever the enemy has that has any kind of connection to me, snip, 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 snip. Amen? Amen. By the word of the Lord, we're going to cut that off, and then we're going to go to the next level. Amen? But first of all, whatever the enemy has to manipulate me, cut off. Now, part of what he might have in manipulating us is our emotions. Yeah? Our emotions. He can manipulate you by sin. He can manipulate you by a rebellious mindset of disobedience that's operating in your life. Self-dependence, I can do everything by myself. Those can be the strings that he pulls. You know, and makes you feel like you are doing something, but he's really the one controlling what's happening in your life. So we're going to declare right now, any connection between me and the devil, between our church and the devil, between my family and the devil, between myself and the devil, my wife, my children, my friends, my fellow brothers, my sisters, whatever it is that the enemy has that he's using to control, today we disconnect it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're cutting the wires. Praise the Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, oh God, that every connecting point that the enemy has, Lord, oh God, whatever device, crafty device that the enemy has operated with successfully in the past, that are representations of iniquities that he's been manipulating. Lord, oh God, let every line of iniquity be eradicated. Let it be purged. Let it be removed. For the Lord, your word, your God, my Father, your word says, oh God, that in the day that you cleanse us and you purge us from the iniquities, that, Lord, oh God, the blessing can then flow. Father, this day we disconnect ourselves from whatever the enemy has. And we connect ourselves to you, our sovereign Lord forever, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Amen? We declare by the authority of the word of God that any connection the enemy has to us, our family, our church, every line be cut off. Amen? Every line. Whatever the enemy has to manipulate us in any way, shape, or form is cut off. Now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now this next one we're going to deal with in the wisdom of God. The Bible tells us that in Jude it says that even the angel Michael did not bring railing accusations against the devil when he contended for the body of Moses. Yeah? But said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Yeah? Okay. The Lord rebuke you. Praise the Lord. So this is the next level we're going to go to, and I'm going to spend some time on that some other day. But let's remember that Jude 1:9 clearly states, and we can see it, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation. But said, the Lord rebuked thee. Now when we talk about binding the strong man, we're going to remember where we started. The battle is what? The Lord's. Okay. God allows us to go possess the possessions, take back what he said. But the battle is still the Lord's. Yeah? So we are going to declare now. The strong man can be anything. The stronghold of the enemy can be anything. But this is a battle that we are going to turn over to the Lord. But in turning it over to the Lord, we are going to say what the Lord said. May I say this to you? Don't go about cursing. If you're going to speak a word of cursing at the enemy, you say, "The Lord curse you. The Lord rebukes you." Amen? So what? Because everything that you say comes back to you. So if the Lord is the one saying it, it goes back to the Lord. But the Lord is so neutralizing that whatever it is that comes to him as a curse does not have any effect on him. But on you, it can have a curse and an effect. Okay? So we're moving it to the Lord. But when it comes to blessing, guess what it says? It says you bless. Why? Because he wants the blessing to come to you. When it comes to cursing, you don't do that. Curse not. Amen? When it comes to blessing, it says you bless. All right? So now what we're going to do now is we're going to declare in the name of Jesus, by the authority granted to us, we declare to you forces of darkness that the Lord God rebukes you. Loose your hold right now. You get it? Are you ready to do that? Okay, let's do it. Father, we thank you that your word is eternal. And this day, God, we stand upon the eternal word of truth. And in standing in this truth, O God, we declare this day, O God, as we stand before you, we speak, O God, by the authority of your word to the forces of darkness, declaring this day, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you. You are rebuked. You thief, you are rebuked. You lying spirits, you are rebuked. You spirits that steal, kill, and try to destroy, you are rebuked. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord God Almighty rebukes you. You are rebuked from our church. You are rebuked from our families. You are rebuked from the lives of our children, of our spouses. You are rebuked. Loose your hold off of our finances. Loose your hold of everything that pertains to us this day. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you. In the name of Jesus and by the authority of that name, we declare this day, you are rebuked. Move. Leave. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Next thing we're going to do now says when you bind a strong man, you can spoil his house. We are going to take spoils. Hallelujah. Everything that we can grab, glory be to God, we are going to grab. Praise the Lord. Now, when we are grabbing things, we've got to understand that when we are grabbing things in the realm of the Spirit, we're grabbing things in the name of the Lord, for all things belong unto the Lord. Amen? Some of us today, we're going to grab some serious finances where things are going to just happen and you cannot explain how it is happening. Praise the Lord. Things that have been tied down are loose, released. Praise God. People's health will be restored. Amen. Whatever the enemy has been keeping away from you will be restored. It might be emotional problems, mental problems, physical problems, whatever it is, whatever the enemy has had a right to and has kept shelved. Today we are collecting everything we can collect. And not only today, we'll keep on collecting. Amen? We have access to it once and for all. Anytime we want anything, we can call it into this realm. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are things that I'm going to collect today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to force them into place. It's going to be made manifest. I don't have to know how it's going to be manifest, but I know it's going to be manifest because today I'm going to collect it. You know, there are electronic stuff. There's all kinds of, there are cars, there are houses, there are electronics, there are computers. Anything, there are jet planes. Glory be to God. There's all kinds of stuff. Praise God. And we're going to collect it. If I don't know how to use it, somebody, I will find somebody who can use it very well. Amen. So we are collecting. Someone say, I'm collecting now. So pray this first. Lord, enlarge my capacity to collect every collectible in the mighty name of Jesus. I receive the anointing. Praise the Lord. You know, Samson, little Samson was so strong, he carried the gate of a whole city and carried up and put it up in the mountaintop. That's strong. Well, if he had the ability to carry a gate and go and dump it over there, I have the ability to carry as much as I can. Amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you ready to collect? One, two, go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We gather the wealth. We gather the wealth. We gather the wealth. There's transfer of wealth. Transfer, oh God, of land. Transfer of property. Transfer of houses. Transfer of equipment. Transfer of all kinds of tools. Transfer, oh God, of everything possible. We collect, we collect, we collect in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We collect, oh God, by the authority of your word. Lord, oh God, everything, oh God, that the enemy has kept away from us, we retrieve right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We call it so done by the authority of your word. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of what we must collect. It's so easy for us to think about the material stuff, but the greatest collection we can collect today is souls. Amen? Souls that the enemy has caused to fly away, disrupted them, confused them. They've lost their minds. They have been made children of disobedience. Today, we are in collecting these, we're going to do two things. First of all, we're going to say to these ones, be strengthened in your inner man by the Spirit and the love of God, because this is what gives people the capacity to receive salvation. They have been beaten down in the spirit that they don't see themselves coming out. But right now, we're going to prophesy into them, and we're going to declare that you are strengthened in your inner man by the love of God, rooted and grounded in the love of God, so that they can comprehend that which is the height, the length, the width, the breadth, the love of God which passes knowledge. Amen? And then after we've declared that, we are going to bring them out. Praise the Lord. No fighting. Praise God. All right, pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare, oh God, that those that have been lost, those that have been captured by the enemy, and Lord, oh God, that your word, oh God, will penetrate into them right now, that your love will penetrate into them right now, that they will know, God, that they are loved of you, that, Lord, oh God, that you care about them, that you want the best for them, and by the authority of that word, oh God, we declare this day, in the mighty name of Jesus, be filled with the life of God, be filled with the strength of God, be filled by the love of God, be filled with the wisdom of God even this day, so that you can hear and comprehend, understand the truth of God's grace and the truth of God's loving kindness and tender mercies. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare so in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let us call these lost ones out. We're going to call them and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. They've been captured and held captive for the longest time, but now we have given them hope, and now we point them to the one that can save them by faith. Remember what Elijah did, that their hearts have been turned back to God. Is that what he said? And then the fire came. So we're going to declare now that the hearts of men are now being turned back to God. Let's do that. Thank you, Father God, that the hearts of men have been turned back to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare, God, that we this day do not concede and let the enemy have anyone. But this day we declare, God, salvation has come to your people. And Lord, oh God, we declare that the scales fall off their eyes, that they behold you for who you are. And Lord, oh God, that their eyes been opened to behold the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And by so doing, oh God, come to salvation. We declare salvation, oh God, to go forth even now to reach the masses. Salvation, salvation, salvation. Hearts are turned to the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. We call men and women, children, to salvation. Oh, Father, this is so, and it is done. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Hallelujah. We speak the blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we'll continue on Sunday. Sunday morning and Sunday evening, the things that we did not cover today that we'll keep on covering, because this is all part of the establishment of the covenant of God. It's one theme throughout this year, the establishment of the covenant. And this is part of how that covenant is established. What God has promised us, we getting it all back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. The Bible tells us about how the sacrifice was brought at the time of Elijah. But before that, God sent Elijah to a widow, the widow of Zarephath. Because where he was, the water had dried up. He was being fed by ravens in the morning and the evening, every day. When it dried up, God says, I'm sending you to the widow of Zarephath. I have somebody there that's going to take care of you. So he gets to Zarephath. Zarephath simply means a place of refinement. God was going to refine him to get him ready for the provision that's coming. And he gets there. He sees the woman and says to the woman, can you give me some water to drink, please? The woman says, sure, I'll get you some water. And then he said, oh, and by the way, can you get me some bread also and some food to eat? No one says, that's precious, because I've just come to the last batch of flour and oil to make the last meal for my son and myself to eat, and then we will die. Remember that statement. Okay? We're going to eat and we will do what? die. So the prophet says, just do what you got to do. So he says, well, because I'm telling you now, the flour will not fail, and the oil will not fail. Actually, he says, the flour shall not waste. It's the exact word he used. The flour shall not waste, and the oil not fail. So the woman goes, and she bakes, and had enough, not just for herself and the son, but for her house. She had servants. She had people staying with her. And they fed. And they fed the next day, because the man of God said, it will not fail until rain comes back down, until it rains again. And so it was. But while he was there in that woman's house, her son all of a sudden dies. Why? We talked about it. We prayed about it a moment ago. She said it out of her mouth, and the enemy capitalized on it. And so she comes and blames Elijah. It's you, because you came here. That's why my son died. No, your son died because you said it. Your son is going to live because I'm here. So he takes the boy up to a higher room, puts him on his bed, and he lays on the child 3 times. And the child came back alive. Hands him to the mother. That's your son. Stop blaming me for what I didn't do. This preceded him going to show himself to Ahab. When we honor God with our giving, he will bring us to a place where we lack nothing. Let's just get that straight. God does not move by our natural laws. Amen? When you reduce God to the place of natural laws, then natural laws will work for you or against you. Or you can let God be God, and he shows himself strong on our behalf. Amen? So I'm not asking you to do something that I am not doing. I'm doing it. And doing it even more. Before I came to church today, I received a letter from a particular ministry. It says, this is mid-year. We just want you to know that you have given so much. And I looked at the amount. I said, what? Who gave what? What is this? No kidding. We don't just give here. We give, but we make sure we honor God here and keep on asking God, what do you want? What do you want? Because I believe that. I'm sowing for my future. Praise the Lord. So today, just honor God. Just trust him with your finances and just release it to him. And as you release it to him, expect that he will multiply your seed sown. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Watch, he gives seed to the sower and he gives bread to the eater. You like eating? Yeah, take bread. Bread does not multiply that way. Seed keeps on multiplying. So you determine whether you're a bread eater and you just give you bread. You like eating? Yeah. Or you are a seed sower and it keeps on increasing. your seed. But not only will God increase your seed, God will increase the land that you are going to sow your seed on. Because you can't put all kinds of seed in one little small spot. It will not grow properly. You'll not get a harvest. All that seed is competing from one spot. Praise the Lord. So honor God. Those of you online, do so. Those of you here that have not done so already, do so. And finally, let us share in communion together. Is there anyone that doesn't have their element? You need an element. There's one up here in front. No element? None. Oh, you have yours? Okay. To make it easier, when you come to church, when the elements are available, just take yours as you're coming in, and as the ushers, when you're coming in, if you can have the elements, so that way we are quicker in addressing this particular aspect of the service. Well, this is the body of the Lord. We put on Christ. The word of God says, put on Christ. As we take off this body, we're putting on Christ. As we take off this cup, we're putting on and taking into ourselves the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is the master neutralizer. It neutralizes everything that the enemy wants to do. It neutralizes judgment. It neutralizes attacks. It neutralizes every lie of the enemy. This is the precious blood of our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is my blood, the blood in the new covenant. This is my body. Take off this body and eat. And may there be a manifestation of all that God says should be manifested in our lives. Amen. He took on the curse so that we no longer be under the curse. And he releases the blessing into our lives. As you take off the blood, may God's grace rest upon you, and may there be manifestation and new strength. If you do not have blood in your body flowing properly, if your blood levels are low, you'll be weak. But this day, your blood, his blood in you, is going to cause you to be strengthened. This is like spinach to Popeye. So this blood is going to strengthen you and empower you. For life is in the blood. His life is coming inside of you. Take off this cup. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, before we leave today, just be seated for a quick moment. I would like to let you know that next month we are going to have another conference. And we have a great man of God that's going to be speaking to us. I got to meet this man of God a few years back. I had been invited to speak at his church. Never met him, but somebody had spoken to him about us. And Mom and I came to the city and decided to go to the church first. The vehicle that came to pick us up was just loaded with stuff. And we went to the church, and I'm looking at the time. By the time I get to my hotel and try to come back, It's going to be just a mess up. So I said, okay, I'm going to stay, let Mama go to the hotel. It took Mama about 2+ hours to get to the hotel. It was a good thing that we stopped. But it was also a good thing that when I'm traveling, I get dressed up like I'm going to preach. So I was dressed up to go preach. Because the Lord told me exactly what was going to happen before I left. And I'm thinking, okay, I think I should do better than I normally will do. Still decent enough, but this time, and sure enough, that's what happened. And so I ministered there and had a good time with this man of God. And oh my, did he bless me with his testimonies that he had to share about his relationship with God. And as I was praying and seeking God for who should come to us, he said, that man. So I called him. And as I was talking to him and inviting him to speak, and he was excited, he said, you know, the Lord told me, because I, you know, with COVID, nobody's traveling anywhere. So the Lord told him, said, get ready. You're going to get an invitation to speak. He said, the Lord just told me, and I told my wife just yesterday morning that an invitation is coming. And here it is. Praise the Lord. And while I'm talking to him, the Lord says, I'm not just inviting him to speak. I want his wife to speak also. So we're going to have a husband-wife team. Amen. This next conference, and it's called There Is a Lifting Up, Higher Ground. Roll the tape. Or they show us the poster. There it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you see it? Bishop Charles and Pastor May. Olowo Joba. This is Yoruba name. And it's in the city of Abuja. And they're just a power couple. And we're going to be blessed by their ministry. And when we're done with that, September, that is power packed. Oh my. So just write off September and say, this is special meetings month. Amen. It's going to be just extraordinary. God is going to do great things for us in September. So that's that. We will have the video available for you in the next few days. But before we go today, I want to remind you that tomorrow, who knows what's happening tomorrow? What is it? Okay, Pastor. Oh, you see it. Ah, okay, there it is. Who's that beautiful queen? It's my wife? Wow, am I blessed and highly favored? Amen. Yes. Yeah, so, Sweet 16. Oh, I think she's going to like your number better than what I said. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So, she's going to be here Sunday morning, and, you know, let's celebrate her and just thank God for her. And, you know, when you sow and bless men and women of God, God uses that greatly to bless you. Amen? Don't shy away from that. If you heard me say some time back, I don't care for your nice cards. Thank you very much. There's got to be some stuffing in it, because it's not the card company, it's not Carlton that's going to bless you. But when you make the heart of the man or woman of God happy, and pray some serious prayers, the devil backs off and says, I've lost this one. Amen. Praise God. You know, so many sons and daughters that we have lent that. I don't know if you remember one of our sons that was building the big, huge thing in Ghana. Guess what he did? Before he did that, he sent some serious, say, Papa, I want your bank account. I didn't give it to him for months. Finally, he says, I want that bank account. You cannot be robbing me. He released the offering. As soon as it hit the hand, pow, it exploded at the other end. Boom. And he started building. He said, I don't know where all this money is coming from, but we're doing it. Amen? So, I like to get used. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't say much, but when I say something, I mean it. Praise God. God is good. So be a blessing and let God shower you with his goodness. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. I trust that this conference has been meaningful to you and to your family. We received the reports from different ones who will respond and saying, this has been a powerful conference. I've learned so much and I've had so many answers. Let it be so for everyone. And let it be a manifestation of God's divine purpose. You have a great, great night. Get rested tomorrow and come ready Sunday morning to experience God in a fresh, fresh way. Amen. Good night. Love you. See you guys, you on Facebook and YouTube. Be blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Is there anyone?